Mobile, I'm Alon.
This is Walsh.
This, the second of three preseason episodes, will go balls deep into the midfielders and the forwards. Let's start with an opening question, though. What was your favorite cartoon growing up?
Oh, man, this is really hard. There are so many. You start. Let me think.
I just went with the absolute first one that popped in my head, which was a kind of like a small show. It's called Mighty Max. You ever watch that?
Nope.
It was like I looked it up after because it's one of the, like, I was young enough that I kind of remember it, but I don't really remember anything about it. It was only out for two seasons. It's just like a, you know, like a fantasy adventure show. Like Mighty Max is this young kid and he like fights like a lava monster and shit, and he wears like a sick red hat, and yeah, I just have like really, really fond memories of being young and watching and being like, this is so sick.
Sick red hat?
Yeah, just like a cool red like cap. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I never saw this show. That's intense. Yeah, I like the hat. It defies gravity the way it sits on his head.
Yeah, exactly. And he gets it like through some mystical way.
Yeah. I think my favorite of all time is probably Ren and Stimpy.
Ah, so good.
Yeah, I got like heavy into Ren and Stimpy, watching the same episodes over and over every time it was on. So, I mean, it's just Ren and Stimpy.
I feel like Ren and Stimpy is a show that we could go back to now and it'd still be fucking incredible.
I mean, it wasn't like a kid's cartoon.
It was not a kid's cartoon.
No, it was dark and it had some really fucked up episodes.
Yeah, it was kind of like Beavis and Butthead-y almost, but with like more like cartoony than that, but yeah,
running. I was all about running Powdered Toast Man, dude. I was all about running Stimpy. The episode.
See, I don't even
Lincoln.
Know the deep cuts. I just remember like their butts.
Yeah, their butts were huge.
Their butts were very, very heavily featured.
There was an episode in the Lincoln Monument where he got on his, you put a quarter in and Abe Lincoln's finger would go up his nose and they would jump on the finger. And the whole episode was inside the statue of Lincoln's Monument and just all these like mishaps happened. It was great.
Okay, that's on my to-do list, like dip back in a Ren and Stimpy, because I don't remember that much. I just remember it being like really insane.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, Invader Zim, also one of my favorites. But
I've Ren heard of that one, but I don't know anything about that one.
All right, that's it for that, but Ren and Stimpy.
Good show. Great show. All right, so let's do some Twitter questions, bang those out, and then we have like the most insane episode with the midfielders and attackers, so...
Yeah, we'll this is basically going to be like our last episode, but just focusing on midfield and attack instead of goalkeeper and defense. So
exactly.
We're going to try and keep it to like a 70-minute ep, but we'll see where it goes.
We'll try and keep it tight, and then we still have the one more preseason pod, which will be probably longer because it'll have producer Nate and guest Jason. That'll be insane.
Yeah, that'll probably be more just banter and chat.
That'll be like 10 hours.
10 hours, yeah, probably.
All right, so first Twitter question is from at FPL's Stato or Stato. He says, what the fuck's going to happen with the new conduct rules? Thoughts? No one seems to be talking about it.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about them.
Yeah, I was thinking about him when he tweeted the question. And I was like, okay, I know they're supposedly going to be more harsh with like yellows and reds, but it kind of means nothing because we have to see how they actually implicate it.
Like, yeah, I mean, is it going to be harsh like they were supposed to call when players are throwing players down in the box for pens? Like that never happened.
They never called it. Yeah,
everyone's going
to
be playing with this.
We just have to see how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's going to be playing with the same deck of cards, so if it affects some players, they get some reds, I don't know. I mean, for FPL, you can't fucking, like...
I mean, the only way you'd possibly plan on it is, like, maybe that hurts someone like Costa or, like, Gabriel. But, like, that's it. Nothing more than that.
No, I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it shakes out, but I think initially it hasn't come into my thoughts at all from planning my FPL's team. But
I agree. All right. At FM Slickback asks, what pricing template will you use for your game week one draft? So we've kind of talked about this probably every episode, but I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I have two premium forwards, a budget forward, and then I have like two premium mids, a mid-price mid, and then a lower-tiered mid. And then I have fucking cheap fuck defenders and goalkeepers, basically.
Yeah, that's basically like... our suggested template in a nutshell. Definitely one 4.5 midfielder who, whatever, hopefully is nailed. That's really his only criteria. And then pretty relatively cheap in goal. And, yeah, same in defense. Yeah, I mean, that's basically the run of the mill. I mean, like, forwards and midfielders score a lot more points than defenders and goalies. So that's why they're priced higher, and that's why we spend more there.
Yep, and still 3-4-3 until 3-4-3.
Yeah, 3-4-3 for sure. Yeah, I was thinking about five midfielders and how I hate it, but another thing with it is just like the rotate. I don't even want to get into this. 3-4-3 is the way to go.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, at Fantasy THFC asks, who are the best 4.5 mids, and who are the out of position players that we're looking at?
So I'm sitting with Kapu right now as my 4-5 mid. It seems like under Mazzari, he's got a couple goals in preseason, and it looks like he's being allowed to roam forward a bit in the 3-5-2. So I think he's a good shout. He's nailed. He's only had like one goal and one assist, I think, in this last 3 years or something like that. But from a 4-5 standpoint, I mean, he's nailed, and he's got a couple preseason goals. That's about as all it'll take for me to take a piss.
Right, right. I didn't know about those preseason goals. That makes him a little more sexy.
Yeah, the fixtures are bad, but I'm not going to play him ever, so I don't care. The other 4-5, I mean, Lecco looks pretty like the upside play. But
I love Lecco, but he's just not nailed. I can't see him starting.
Yeah.
Especially because they got Phillips.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll start sometimes, but sometimes won't, so I don't want him as my 4-5.
He's like 15.
Yeah, he's about 15.
Yeah.
You got like Fletcher, I guess, as a nailed on option.
Yeah, I have the Southampton guy, Hojbjerg or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, Hoberg. I don't know how you say it.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce that O.
Yeah, I still don't know if he's nailed, just because they still have a classy JWP, Romeo.
Right. From everything I've seen, he's been like nailed in every preseason match. Like whether it's playing at the base of the diamond or playing in a two holding and a 4-2-3-1, he's been nailed. So I don't know. I'm basing it on that, but I really have no reason to get him. Like as you said, like hopefully he'll never ever play for me and gets the odd goal when someone like gets hurt or something and I have to put him in.
Yeah.
That's
it. I mean, there's also, I think, Ben Watson on Watford also is reasonable.
Watson's fine. Marnie's fine.
Yeah.
I just don't know if Watson's Mendy's fine. None of these guys are, they priced it well. There's no like, there's no 4-5 that isn't a deep lying midfielder this year, I feel like.
There's no George Boyd.
There's no Boyd. There's no fucking, I don't even know who other lads are, but yeah. They're all priced well. They're all really bad offensively. So all you're going for is nailed. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
And even if they don't score anything, nailed will probably ensure like their price won't drop and stupid annoying shit like that. So that's all you're looking for.
Except for fucking Wanyama last year destroyed
me. What the
me.
Fuck was that?
He went down to like 4-2 before I finally got rid of him.
Yeah. He was a nightmare last year.
Yeah, he was bad. He was very bad.
And then the out of position mids. I mean, there's Ayu, Andre Ayu on Swansea, but he might be going to West Ham. But he seems like an out of position potential.
Yeah. Other than that, is the only one I can think of is Jerry D. If Lukaku goes to Chelsea and they don't, I mean, it's I don't. I, there's not much. I mean,
yeah, I don't think Jerry D. actually has a chance of starting at striker. It's just like
false nine, I guess, Firmino.
Right, false nine from time to time, Firmino, but way less of that now because we have like Ings, Origi, Sturridge. You know, it's like Origi, there's no reason to do it. Puel was talking about Redmond a little as a forward, maybe if he goes with two up front, but probably
J-Rod
not.
J-Rod could maybe play forward.
Yeah, and then the last one that I recently read like yesterday or 2 days ago was about how Conte was kind of toying with Hazard up top a little bit.
Yeah, they're going to play on the counter so much, I feel like it's not even going to matter what the positioning is like.
Yeah, it's probably true.
But yeah, if they're playing with two up top, I guess I don't know. I mean,
is there any chance that like someone on Palace plays up top? Because you guys have not bought a forward. And
I still think it's just going to be Wickham as of right now. Like Campbell, I think, would honestly be the backup. I think he's hurt or something. But every time we played Bolasie at striker, it was a fucking fuckfest nightmare. Yeah,
Balassi, Sacco. Townsend's probably never played striker.
No, he can't. I still think we're going to sign somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it for out of position off the top of my head.
Yeah, there's not much there. I think Ayu's the best shot at this
time. He's like properly striker, I would say, at this point, before they buy anyone, before he moves. So that's why I have him.
All right. Where do you want to start?
All right. Let's do a sponsor and then we'll just fucking dive in.
All right.
Do you want to work from home and make a ludicrous salary? How's six figures? Now, how's six figures per week in pounds, baby? With the experimental Vincent Company leg transplant surgery, you can captain both your club and country from the comfort of your own home while making upwards of 120,000 pounds per week. Get your calves, hammies, toes, and Achilles replaced with state-of-the-art Vincent Company glass and watch the money pile up to the ceiling.
All right, comps.
All right, Vincent. You like that pronunciation?
Yeah, that was very Belgian Walloon crazy fuck pronunciation.
That's what I'm talking about there. Yeah, let's go. All right, yeah. So where do we begin?
Do you want to do forwards first because it's a smaller player pool?
Yes, let's do forwards first.
Let's just kick off with who we have. So obviously we have Aguero, but what are you looking at past that? Who's in your current draft?
So I'm Aguero, Lukaku, and Carroll right now.
All right, so let's get into Lukaku. Do you think he's going to go to Chelsea? If so, does he make him more or less attractive to you?
I think much less attractive if he goes to Chelsea, and I'll probably get rid of him.
Okay.
Because of batshit crazy, and I just feel like that takes opportunities away from them. And as you correctly pointed out, they're going to be mostly a defensive counterattacking team, and I don't know, I don't like that as much. He's so much the focal point on Everton.
Yeah, I saw it was like I look at Guardian Football usually in the morning just to see what's up on their website. And Babaraman I saw went to Schalke on loan, and he said his quote that Conte said that they're going to play very defensive, and he's more of an offensive fullback, so he suggested that he go out on loan. Simple as the rumors with Chelsea now, it seems like keep seeing these things like Matic and Conte playing holding. I don't know. I'm worried that they're just not going to... They'll probably still be able to steamroll teams when they play weaker opposition. But,
I mean, they'll have to because a weaker team's going to concede possession, so they're not going to just sit in their final third or anything.
Yeah, but I feel like Lukaku would be able to pretty capably fill like Costa's shoes, though, if Costa goes and Lukaku comes in, because he's still like the target man, and he doesn't have the creativity, I think, probably, of Costa.
Yeah. If batshit crazy wasn't there, I would probably keep Lukaku for that reason. I think he's just as good as Costa, if not better on his day. Maybe on the first half of the season, better.
Yeah, first half.
Worse than the second half of the season. But Batshuayi, or what? I don't know how to say his name.
Bats. I think it's Batshuayi.
Batshuayi. I'm calling him Bats. Okay. Bats has been playing really, really well in preseason, starting every game. So, like, someone like Lukaku moving this late into the transfer window with the season like 10 days away doesn't give me confidence that he's just going to like come in and start immediately and blend with all of his new teammates immediately, you know?
Yeah, that's a fair point. If the move does happen, it is pretty late on.
It's really late now.
Yeah, you'd think it would take some time to settle, which for me, it makes me feel like it's not going to happen.
Yeah, true.
It is really late, but we'll see about that. But interesting, Lukaku. I had him in my draft a little while ago.
I just think he's undervalued. I mean,
yeah, we talked about that.
He's just 9 is pretty cheap for the consistency that he's delivered over the last 4 seasons.
Yeah, he's always gotten pretty consistently better every year, and
yeah,
he's still really young. He's proven in the Prem. I was surprised that he was priced at 9. I thought he would be more like 10.
9.5 or 10, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he screams value to me. But at the same time, I don't normally enjoy like having him.
Yeah, but the first half of the season,
yeah, he's always
coming
good off
of last year, they were so free-flowing going forward. I think Koeman is a better manager than Martinez. I just feel positive about them a little bit. I feel like their fullbacks are healthy. That helps him. I feel like who they get to replace Barry.
Guillet.
The fucking Villa guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He was like second in the league for tackles last year.
Yeah, like, I feel like Barry is just a statue at this point, so that's positive for him. I feel like Delafeu will play more. That's positive for him. I feel like it's good value, at least for the first half of the season before he falls off a cliff, but that's why I have him in.
Yeah, I think it's a good pick. I think, again, at nine, it's just the value. I think that
it's just the value. Yeah, exactly.
And then Carol, so let's just dig into the 6.5 forward dilemma, because everyone's got Aguero. Everyone has someone between low-end to high-end premium as their second forward, but everyone also seems to have a 6.5 forward.
Right.
So tell me why you're on Carroll.
We talked about the teams that the 6.5 forwards are on earlier today. And
Bournemouth,
Burnley. Yeah, the main 6.5 guys. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
Bournemouth, Burnley, West Ham, West Brom, Stoke, Sunderland, kind of in that bracket. Middlesbrough.
Borough, yeah.
And then
Southampton with Shane Long.
Sorry, yeah, Southampton.
He's by far the highest owned of all the 6.5 guys.
Shane Long.
Yeah. But after Southampton, who, again, they lost a lot of players and have a new manager who, reading about him, I really like, but it's still a change and there may be adjustment period. And I'm not like the biggest Shane Long fan by any stretch. So out of all of those teams, assuming West Ham don't buy a striker, Carroll's just by far the best team and by far the best attacking team of all of those. When he's fit, he pretty much always returns. And they have decent enough fixtures to start the season, and I just felt good about him. I mean, I had Gray in for a while. I had Callum in for a while. I really like the skill on both of them. I just don't trust the teams really as much. That's pretty much end up.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting play because I probably like Shane Long more than Carroll in a vacuum just as a player, because I think he has that some remote ability to finish things, and Carroll's just a complete donkey.
His mock the definition of a donkey. Yeah,
he's just so horrible to watch. So, but a lot of people have other players on Southampton, attackers maybe Tadic or Redmond, so doubling isn't advisable. I do think Charlie Austin's probably, I like him a little more than Shane Long, just because I feel like he could really settle in this year, because we all know what he did with QPR, and Shane Long's never had a season like Charlie Austin had at QPR in his career.
Yeah, I don't know why no one's talking about him. Yeah, no one.
I think
has
people are concerned that Charlie Austin's not nailed, even though it seems like he's going to be playing 3-5-2. I mean, if Austin's going to be partnering Long up top, I'd rather have Austin.
I think so too.
But I think your point is very fair about the teams that you're looking at, what kind of service these forwards are going to get. And Carroll, by far, will be getting the best with or without Paye. West Ham are going to be dominating possession more so than these like relegation fodderish teams. I think Carroll's probably being slept on a little too much. I do like Rondon a little bit. I think he might be able to take another step forward for West Brom, but you know I'm all about Berahino if he gets a move.
Right. That's what you're kind of sleeping on. I just feel like you want obviously like not just returns. You want like the brace potential. And while Carroll sucks, usually he's capable of getting hot, and as we saw at the end of last season, he can like score a hat trick against Arsenal out of nowhere. Like on his day, he can score a brace. Like he's unstoppable in the air. He gets good service. He's on a good team, and you know I like that potential. He's fit.
Yeah. And then I'll get 3 points when you captain him in the double game week.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Maybe -3.
he'll miss
like fucking 50-yard breakaways against one on zero against the keeper.
I agree with you. You want the brace potential. Carroll not being on pens, I think, is a little bit annoying. If you get someone like Gray, you got pens in his locker.
Yeah, I'm back, Callum too.
Yeah, I'm back on Callum.
I love him.
Yeah, I love him as a player. I really enjoy watching him. He started off with a bang last year before he died. The thing that is the most detrimental for me thinking about Callum and how volatile the first couple game weeks are, that you're going to want to jump on the bandwagon, whomever it is, in the 6-5, maybe it's a 7 or 7-5 that we're not thinking of the first couple weeks. You're going to see a couple price rises. And for Callum, starting off home United at West Ham game weeks 1 and 2 is really tough. It's hard to see or think that he's going to get much from those games.
Yeah.
Being patient with that slot is going to be difficult, even though game weeks 3 and 4, he's at Palace, home West Brom.
Right. But looking at the fixtures, you might miss a price rise if you're too patient. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, if he blanks the first two game weeks, someone else has a couple returns and they're rising, like, you're going to want to probably jump ship right away after game week 2 day to catch a couple price rises and get someone hot. It's putting a lot of faith in that game week 3 kind of thing, which I always am a little nervous about when I look at those fixtures and think about who I go with my game week 1 team. So I don't think I'm probably going to end up with him, but Andre Gray, I think, is just a little scarier just because Burnley,
they've, the interview they've was great. Burned us before, pun intended.
Yeah, the interview was great and it was really informative.
Oh, thank you.
It got me thinking a little bit more about their assets, but the one thing I didn't think about that really screamed out to me when you were interviewing him was how little they've bolstered or reinforced their squad in the transfer window, which is, again, as you mentioned on the interview, the exact same tactic they used last time they got promoted, and then they couldn't score goals for their fucking lives.
They
and
didn't
they got
fucking
clean,
score any goals.
Easily relegated, and they have basically the same spine. You look at like a team like Burrow, who has actual ambition to stay up, and they're buying players. You know, they know what it's going to take to stay up in the Premier League, and they're doing the they're going the opposite route.
Yep.
Bournemouth kind of did the same pattern of Burrow's like last offseason when they came in. You know, they got Gradle, they got some exciting players in, they got Mings even though he died, but they reinforced and they got lucky with players like I guess like Pugh and King, who they already had, who kind of took a step forward. But like a Fobe had
Howe, and all credit to Eddie Howe, but we know what Sean Dyche has done in the past too.
But anyway, so the model, it's just Burnley seems like they're going to have a really hard time creating any chances, and I know they've got those home fixtures at the beginning of the season. I think they have 3 and 4.
Yeah, they do.
They've got home Swansea, home Liverpool, home Hull, first three or four games at Chelsea in between. I still don't think any fixture is a good fixture for Burnley, though. That's the bottom line. So, I mean, I'm looking at this time, if Berahino doesn't move, I'm looking at probably either following you down the Andy Carroll tunnel or doubling up on Southampton attack.
Yeah. And I might go back to Callum too. It's a weird, difficult tinker position, but the convenient thing is that they're all priced the same, basically. So, you know, as you said with the bandwagon, it's just a simple lateral switch to someone if someone comes flying out the gate. I mean, one thing I will say about Bournemouth is that they overall, their goal scoring numbers were poor last year. But if you watch them, they created a ton of chances. And the difference of having a really, you know, hot up-and-coming striker and not having a striker might be the difference between being like a bottom-tier goal-scoring team and a mid-table to higher scoring team. So maybe Callum is just, he just plugs in and they just fucking are free-flowing and he scores for fun. But yeah, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, scoring for fun is a tough thing, but I think they certainly have the midfield and the team to do it.
Yeah.
I think they are going to score.
And the coach and the manager.
Yeah, they have the manager to do it. I think they're going to score their fair share of goals. Again, it's just, for me, I'm looking at the fixtures, and in the first 6 weeks, they only have two favorable attacking fixtures.
Yeah.
And when you're looking at the volatility of the game week 1 to 3 in terms of catching price rises, jumping on the early bandwagons, it feels like it's a transfer waiting to happen. If he blanks one and or both of the first two game weeks, it's going to be really hard to keep your knee down.
Yeah, it almost feels like you're just booking a transfer, which we both hate doing.
Yeah, so that's why I'm trying to think about someone who might have a little bit better fixtures. And I mean, I think Negredo, but you look at Southampton, like they're home Watford, home Sunderland, two of the first three game
weeks. It's fucking great. I mean, you can't ask for something better than that.
Yeah, so I mean, that could be the team that has the early bandwagon. So I don't know.
What's the bad reason to not what's the reason to not have two guys on the same team, two attackers? I mean, what's the real reason? Like, they're mutually exclusive. There is no fucking reason. No,
I don't think there's an objective reason to say, like, they're on the same team, so I can't have them.
Yeah.
For me, I'm looking at the team is Southampton, which has so many question marks in my head.
Right.
How they're going to gel, how they're going to come together in the system.
Right, right, right.
They're going to be playing maybe not necessarily an entirely new formation, as they were 3-5-2 a lot last year, if that's what they end up going with, but if they're playing diamond, that's a new formation for them. You don't know Redmond's new. Austin didn't get a look last year.
Yeah,
you know,
there are a lot of new players,
so that's why.
But yeah,
that's
why
I'm nervous about it. I like the individual player in a vacuum, looking in isolation. But yes, they have good fixtures. They could at the same time, they're not sure fire. That's not Man City. Like, I'm not thinking they're going to score 3+ for fun against these bad teams. They could still stutter. And stumble out of the gate.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. What do you think about kind of flying maybe a little bit under the radar, the Watford guys from last year?
Yeah.
I think the Bash brothers.
It's another tale of just looking at the fixtures. I think Deeney price at 7 is very favorable.
That's a great price. But they're
fixtures. He could have been 8. I mean, he got a lot of points last year and he proved to be a fucking bonus point machine. But
they're fixtures.
I think Watford has probably the worst fixtures of any team in the Premier League for the first
they're
six.
So bad.
Yeah, so I think he's one to keep an eye on, as well as maybe a Watford defender. But the first five are Southampton, Chelsea, Arsenal, West Ham, United. You don't really want a piece of that. So
yeah, I agree with that.
I fucking hate Igalo. I'm never going to own him. But I think Deeney, if he's, you know, he's playing decently and they're attacking under Mazzarri, I think that Watford probably will stay up this year. I feel pretty decent that they're going to be just like a middling team.
Yeah, I feel like they'll roughly be the same team.
Yeah, probably about
but
that.
Just
maybe
like
less clean sheets.
Less surprising.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll have like a month or two where they're maybe playing some exciting football, but I think Deeney is certainly priced well at 7, but not for game week 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they bolstered a little bit. They got some guys.
They're going to be, I think they'll be okay this year.
They got a guy named Isaac Success.
Yeah, he's just a success. What is a great success?
He's never failed.
And so that kind of covers the budget.
That's the budget tier. I mean, there's so few strikers in between like 8 and 7.
Yeah, like really
it's really weird.
Yeah, between like 6-5 and 8-5, it's really nothing. I mean, you have the Watford guys. And then I guess Benteke, if he ever moves, it's probably not going to happen. He's at 7-5. But other than that,
there's zero forwards at 8-5. There's only one at 8, and he's a backup.
I felt like 8-5 was their go-to price for forwards recently.
Giroud's been 8-5 every year of his career.
Yeah, but now they're all 9, I guess, like Giroud and Lukaku. They were all 8-5 last year.
Yeah, they bumped him up a little.
Lukaku was 8, I think.
Yeah, and then all the 7-5s other than Igalo are injured or backups. There's like just not that much there. So yeah, it's all about the 6-5s.
Yeah. And then looking at the premiums, so
yeah, then let's go to the
I mean
top.
Aguero, of course, we're not gonna talk about that. But I have
No, let's talk about it. I mean 13 is the highest he's ever been.
Wasn't he? What was he last year?
I don't know. He's 12.
No, I thought he was 13.
12-5, maybe.
Wasn't he 13-5 last year?
No way.
No, he was 13.
I think he was like 12-5.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Regardless, he's the most expensive player in the game. I mean, yeah, I guess we don't really need to talk about it. But the way that I kind of reason the value in my head, aside from him just being the best goal scorer in the league, undoubtedly, is he's just the captain option like every week while fit. His return when fit is just unparalleled. He always scores. He can hat-trick any game. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, he's my favorite player in the league to watch.
Oh, yeah, you're also obsessed with him.
I'm fucking obsessed with him so hard. It's so bad how obsessed I am. His little beard, I don't know about that. But
Can I time out really quick? Because we said after last episode that we wanted to remind people to send in emails and join the league. You know, just house cleaning shit. So we should maybe just do that now.
Okay, let's go say a thing.
No, I mean, just fmlfmuel@gmail.com. You can email in. A lot of people like to send Rate My Teams, but send in anything, questions, whatever. We're on top of it. Walsh usually handles the emails. I usually handle the twatters at fmlfpl. And then just join the league. I mean, it's the same shit as last year. free, obviously, FMLPL public or private, whatever the fuck league. And you can get that info at FMLPL.com. Just click leagues and you'll see the fucking code right there. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the listener interaction is something that we really enjoy. And for those new listeners, maybe hopped on during our Euro banter.
Yeah.
Twit, if you want a little quick hit, you can twit us and Alon will get back to you. If you want a lengthier little situation, email.
Paragraphs. We're talking paragraphs here.
Yeah, you'll get paragraphs from me on the email. It keeps me busy. back to the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, so the premium. So we're talking like Rooney up.
Yeah, 9+, I think.
9+,
so,
yeah.
I mean, I have Zlatan in. I just feel like it's the safest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to return. I don't think there's any question about that. I know we're not sure still if he's going to be on pens over Rooney. Maybe not.
Rooney took a pen the other day, but Zlatan was off
the pitch. Yeah. The ownership is really high for Zlatan.
Really fucking high, yeah.
I think he's capable, obviously, of hat-tricks any day he steps on the pitch. I think there's probably more to lose than to gain by not having him in your game week one team. I know
interesting.
I think you're maybe a little concerned about how he's going to settle, but of the forwards past Aguero, he's by far the highest percent owned, I think, of serious players. You know, Kane will probably have a high number just because he's English and people know who he is.
Aguero's the most, or well, aside from De Gea, Aguero's the most owned player in the game and Zlatan's number two. So
yeah, so that tells you all you need to know. And I just think that you could cover his points, of course. You pick someone else who's doing well, but 11.5 compared to, you're going to want a premium slot there anyway. You know, if you go down to Vardy, who hasn't fucking stepped on the pitch, it's only a mil half. I mean, it's the difference between 10 and 11.5. You know, it's downgrading your premium defender to a cheap one, or your third midfielder from a middle premium to like a high end budget punt kind of thing. I think the options at forward are so uncertain and don't look that great right now. I had a team with Vardy and Lukaku in next to Aguero instead of having Ibra and the 6-5 forward, but it just feels so safe to have Ibra and not having to go to one of the midfielders, Mkhitaryan or Martial, as a United attacker. I feel like they're going to share points, but to the same kind of light that Arsenal has done the last couple of years. But whereas you normally think that Alexis is the best asset from Arsenal, he's still a wing player, and the games and swaths of periods go right by him, or he's blanking. And Zlatan's going to be the sharp tip at the end of the spear every attack in the middle of the box all year, every day. They don't have Champions League. He's physical. I think he's going to just be really good. And I probably won't captain him much, at least initially. I'm probably going to even still go with Aguero on away days, but it just feels like a safety blanket having him in.
There you go. That's
my rationale.
State of the Zlatan. And I'm basically the opposite, which is insane. But I had him for a while because, I mean, he's fucking Zlatan. He's the like coolest player in the world. It's like everyone who plays fantasy has wanted to own Zlatan at some point, right? It's like when he joined the league, I was just like, oh my God, finally, yes. But for me, taking the opposite point of view, once I really like started getting into tinkering and stuff, he kind of like immediately left my team, and I haven't really considered putting him back in. I'm under the assumption that he won't be on pens, which for Zlatan subtracts a lot of goals. If you look at like, you know, his past whatever PSG seasons, he's also in a much more competitive league. He doesn't play full seasons ever. He like never really has. He's getting old, new league, new team. I think Rashford, I mean, obviously Zlatan's the starter. I'm not saying that Zlatan's not nailed. I just think Rashford is really exciting and really good, and maybe a reason to give Zlatan the odd rest or just not play 90. For me, and as you said, I'm in full agreement that I'd probably cap an Aguero away day over Zlatan still, especially if he's not on pens, which I guess is TBD. But for those reasons, I don't think he can reach the value of 11.5 if I'm not captaining him. And that's why I went with the step down of Lukaku and a more hard-hitting midfield. And I do have Martial. So I still think it's really good to get United attack because, I mean, their front
it's necessary.
Four is fucking it's a necessary insane. Thing. And if you they must get have one of it'll be three. Even better.
Yeah, you must have one of those three players.
So I'm covering it in my eyes with Martial, who I think, you know, is, you know, as much a lock as anyone could be to at least get like double digit goals, like at least get probably last year's return, which is really fucking good for a midfielder.
He'll do better than that.
Which is like absurd for a midfielder if you think about it. Like, bet he scored 11 last year. He could score like 15. Like, that's really fucking high for a mid. So for me, I just think, like, you know, with the way that midfielders get more bonus points and he gets all the Martial's, there's a bonus magnet with all of dribbles and shit and the extra point for goals and the extra point for cleans. I just feel like at 9.5 Martial, I'm getting really good United coverage and really good value for United's attack. So that's why I'm not going Zlatan basically, but that's definitely like the debate in FPL communities, I feel like, is like Aguero or Zlatan or both.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, you get obviously a heavier hitting midfield when you spend maybe 2 million less on your second striker. And I agree. I think Martial for the goals and just because he's been in the league, I like him more than Mkhitaryan. They're both at the same price.
Yeah, midfield. I like Martial a lot more than Mkhitaryan. Yeah,
I like both a lot. I do like Mkhitaryan. I think he's going to settle in pretty quickly. But he's a creative outlet, and you always want the goals in your midfielders if you can get them. It's like Alexis versus Ozil.
Right.
But I still think just it's safer. It just feels safer to have Zlatan based on ownership levels. I agree with you. There's no value. 11.5 is a fortune, especially if you're not captaining the player that much.
Right.
That might change quickly. He might light the world on fire, be on pens.
Right. And I'm definitely taking a gamble. Yeah.
Yeah. And you hop on early. But for me, I think I would rather not miss out on early hauls and then have to clamor to get him in, given the ownership, and just like, I think he's great and I love him. And I agree with you. I don't think there's any value, but I just don't feel comfortable covering the points with players who I don't love, like Lukaku, who I think has his own warts.
Right. For sure. Yeah.
So
there you have it. Yeah. I mean, that's what you're weighing. And if you can construct a midfield you like with Aguero and Zlatan, then fucking do it because they're really good. They're the two best goal scorers in the league, probably. So.
Yeah, and let's slide into midfield. I mean, that's the other thing why
Hold on. Did you want to do the rest of the premium forwards real quick? Is there anyone else you like or what?
No, I mean, Vardy hasn't played. I think at 10, he'll probably earn that, but he hasn't played, so I don't think he's really can be in consideration
yet. I think Sturridge is the most interesting of all of them.
Yeah, Sturridge is interesting. Kane's but expensive. No I think we'll probably need a. Yeah, we'll probably have to wait a little bit till he's going to be okay to get in your FPL team.
Yeah,
Sturridge is interesting, but it's the same thing with Liverpool. We talked about when we talked about defense. Their fixtures are just ridiculously.
Yeah, bad. So just it's kind of the thing. It's like prove it to me, and then I'll bring you in. You know, like stay fit for the first six games and score some goals, and then you're in. You know, for sure.
And that's the kind of thing. It's a similar argument. I mean, Firmino at 1.5 million less, who's way more proven at least from last year that he's going to be nailed and he's going to play, you know, Origi,
right.
He's going to have to manage
it's kind of similar to me with like Martial.
But no, I mean, Giroud is a donkey. No one's going to have him. I think we kind of touched on everyone. It's a small pool, I feel like, this year.
There's Rooney, but I don't really want to get into it because I like him and you hate him, but whatever. I think Martial's better to own, so it doesn't even matter. You know, it's I'm getting probably more goals for Martial, and he's a midfielder, so there's no reason to get Rooney.
No, he's playing reverse out of position.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, midfield. So what's your midfield right now?
I have
11 days out from the season.
I have Hazard, Eriksen, Tadic, and Jerry D. So the only two names in my entire team that hasn't changed since the first draft I made has been Aguero and Tadic. So Tadic is nailed. I mean, he's going to be playing the tip of the diamond behind two strikers as of right now. He finished the season last year with an outrageous points per game average, 7.5. I think he's really good value, and I really like him. So that feels good. Hazard, you know, he's a 10. He's very expensive. He was fucking shit last year. But I want a Chelsea attacker. I feel like Chelsea, with no other competitions, are going to just be so focused and so good in the league. So having Hazard...
And I love Conte.
Yeah, I love Conte. I feel like Hazard's got to be back on pens this year.
Yeah, I think so.
If he feels safe, even though he is 10... Looking at the other premium slots, I liked him a little bit more than doubling on City with KDB. I feel like Hazard's a little bit more going to get auto bonus on things. Like, he's a bonus magnet. It'll be nice to diversify and have some rooting interest when Chelsea's on TV, even though I do probably think KDB will get more points, at least initially. I'm going to stick with Hazard, I think, for the premium slot.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eriksen, I've been dithering back and forth between Eriksen and Firmino. First draft had Eriksen in, and he's came and gone, and you were surprised I had him in, but they have really good fixtures. He's been off all summer. I feel like he's the kind of player that could maybe hit the ground running. He didn't play Euros.
They have such good fixtures, yeah.
They have really good fixtures.
The opposite of Firmino, yeah.
Yeah, he knows what to expect in the system. I feel like he's just going to be really fresh, and I think he might have a good start. I have a good feeling about him. Again, the fixtures are good. I don't think he's explosive. You know, he's going to steadily tick over, but I'm going to have to test my patience because you know he also will have those 3-4 games where he has a few blanks.
Oh, I mean, he'll have 6 games of blanks, yeah, and then like back-to-back brace and assists. Yeah.
So Eriksen at 8.5 seems like pretty good value to me.
Yeah.
I like him more than Ali after Ali's busy summer, and it felt like towards the end of last year also Ali was quite poor in the last, you know, handful of fixtures. I think he really got tired, the games caught up with him, so.
Maybe Ali will be the guy that gets fucked over by the conduct rule because he's kind of fucking insane.
Yeah, he's totally insane. So Eriksen, I like Eriksen at the A5 slot. It could still go down if I would need money to do something else. And then Jerry D is kind of a late throw, and I was on Townsend for a while. For some reason, though, I'm not so convinced by Townsend. I know the fixtures are good, but I don't know. I
had him for a while, too, and I recently got rid of him.
Yeah, you know,
it's something about not having a forward. I like him, and he shoots a lot, and he's, like, really freakishly accurate with his shots, and he's never really got a full chance, and he should play, like, 3,000 minutes this year, but there's no, like, good attacking teams who have shit strikers. You know what I mean? It's like Wickham is going to score 4 goals and miss every sitter and just be a fucking shithead. And it's just
probably.
Like, it just makes me feel not as good about having a Palace player.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm just not sure. Yeah.
I don't know. I think Townsend is probably objectively a good pick based on how he finished the season last year with Newcastle.
Yeah.
6.5 is the price
it's
is
big
right.
Big upside. Yeah.
Yeah, and he also seemed to always get bonus points whenever he'd score a goal.
Well, goals, I don't know, maybe I'm making this up, but I feel like goals are weighted way more than assists in, like, the bonus system.
Yeah, I think they are.
Right? Like, even, like, a brace of assists will get out bonus by a goal, I feel
maybe.
Like.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Maybe not. But that's how it works in my head. So I always feel like the goal scoring mids get the more bonus. But maybe I'm just making that up. I'll have to double check that.
Yeah, I think it also just depends on all the other things. Because remember, like, Ozil last year, he would get the assist and get 2 bonus just because he'd always have, like, the pass percentage
completion. The pass percentage, yeah. We need to run, like, a Mr. Wong, like, correlation final exam on the correlation of goals scored to bonus and assists and bonus.
Yeah, it's probably really hard to come up with something hard and fast just because
the
players do to other things. But
I don't know.
I'm sure, though, like, 1 goal in the BPS, like, the BPS number that you get is higher than 1 assist.
It has to be more than assists, yeah.
But anyway, so 6.5. But Jerry D, so, I mean, he's playing false nine. I'm probably not going to stick with him either. He seems a little too puntish for me. I'm not sure if he's going to be nailed. I might go over to Kevin, honestly.
Wow. Jerry's got to be more nailed than Kevin, no?
I don't know. I mean, Lennon can only play on Jerry's side, right?
Oh. Well, he played down the middle some last year, too, Lennon. But
did he?
Yeah, he did a little bit, and Barkley was deep. But I don't know. We'll have to talk to Tempe Bug about that. I don't really know what they've been doing. I like Kevin.
Kevin is just so fucking selfish.
Oh, he's got red cards coming too. I love that.
Yeah, he does have red cards, but he just all he wants to do is selfish. Dong.
Yeah, he's fucking Aryan Robin. Like, he just stares down at his own shoelaces and waits to shoot. That's all he does.
But Jerry D does sort of scream out to me to be like a Mahrez type, where he could maybe take the league by surprise.
He has all the skills in the world.
Yeah, yeah. And the preseason, I know you don't like to read too much into preseason, but he has been playing really well. Granted, he's been false nine. Yeah. I don't know. Coleman's good.
I love the Jerry D pick. It's kind of like him. With mids, it's kind of similar to as we were just talking with forwards that are 6'5". Like, mids, if you go in the 5'5 to 6'5 range, like, one or two or maybe more of those guys are going to blow up. There's, like, no question. Like, some of those guys will be bandwagon price rise, like, mindfuck seasons, and some will be duds. But the nice thing about having some of your midfield in that bracket is that it's just a lateral move. It's simple. They're all priced the same. You can jump on the bandwagon right away.
Yeah, and I think that is something, maybe we'll probably talk more in the IRL pod with guest and producer, but jumping on the bandwagons early is something I'm going to really actively try to do this year and not be patient with the players. Maybe I like preseason, but they've started off slow and just fucking following the herd, because
especially at the beginning, the price rises are so fast.
Yeah, the price rises, but also it's just you can't win the game in the first 5 to 7 game weeks, but you can certainly lose it. And
that's true.
I feel like you have more downside by not hopping on bandwagons, hot players, and form players. Because when everyone else is, you're banking on them falling off a cliff, which is almost gambler's fallacy, because maybe you didn't get in early enough and you're just...
That's what it is, yeah. And form is always good.
Yeah, form's always good, so... It's the kind of thing like Ramsey a couple years ago and Yaya and then Mahrez. And even if you feel a week or two late, it's always usually better to get in rather than not. So, I mean, I got Mahrez last year after game week 2, and I know you had him to start, and I considered getting him in after game week 1, and I think I saved my transfer. But
what a fucking genius I am having him in, and then I fucking blew it.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, like you're saying, yeah, the 6'5 to 5'5 midfielder that emerges game week 1, game week 2, I think is going to be important to hop on. It could be Jerry D, maybe not.
It could be Figuoli, fucking Fisher. There's so many guys.
So I think having a 5'5 or 6'5 fourth mid, like that price bracket, like, feels great.
Yeah. Just because, I think it's important to have, yeah.
Yeah, because if you don't and you load up on premiums, then when the cheap guy emerges, you're going to feel like shit to downgrade your 7-5 or 8-5 midfielder to a budget midfielder pick. It's going to immediately fuck up your team structure, because that's 2 or so million that you didn't put into maybe the front line.
Right.
Or making your defense better.
Yeah, it's just not good to fuck with that.
Yeah, I always do. And I think as the season progresses and you see who's good and who's shit, putting more and more money into premium midfielders and squeezing out an extra premium midfielder is a lot better than in game week 1, when premium midfielders by game week 18 are players that maybe started out with their starting price at 6.0. So I think it's important, like, again, like Mahrez last year, every year there's someone or a couple players like that.
Ramsey, Michu, fucking, even like Bale. I don't know.
So yeah, I'm in Jerry D. That might change. It doesn't feel very settled, but we'll see.
I like that.
What about you? What's your midfield?
Yeah, I also have Hazard, so you kind of covered that. I mean, I felt for several years now that he's the best player in the league, just from like a football standpoint, not fantasy-wise. He's so consistent the years prior to last year, and just such a good fantasy tit fest, and he's been good in preseason and playing more forward, and he had a good Euros and he was good at the end of the season. I think he's so good, and I think he's going to probably finish the top midfielder in the game, and so I want him. I have Martial, as I mentioned earlier. I have Ayew, as I mentioned earlier. I mean, Swansea fucking suck. They're so bad, but they got rid of all of their strikers, and I mean, goals just score way more points. And he only had 12 goals last year in his first fucking season. He scored 171 points. Like, he was fucking massive last year. I was surprised that he was 7'5", and he was the fourth highest scoring mid last year. He scored as many points as Payet.
Yeah,
which is just crazy.
Yeah, he was really consistent. I mean, he was in the team for a long time. He didn't get injured, which was big for his just overall point total. But
definitely.
Yeah, I mean, he was playing as like a second striker at times, and if he's playing as actual striker, you got to think that there's good outlook there.
Yeah,
and
so I mean, just even if he just gives me last year's return at 7'5", that's great.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, he's got opening two is at Burnley home.
Yeah, the fixtures fucking suck.
But then, yeah, game weeks 3-8, you don't really want him at all. So
unless he's striker, though, and I'm fine. Yeah, you know, like, it's true. Like I'm cheating. I get 4 strikers and everyone else gets 3. Like, that's honestly how I see it. I'm just like, okay, if he scores a goal, like, one every 3 games in the hard fixtures and one every 2 games in the easy fixtures, that's fine, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a fair point. I mean, it could be that he's just fantasy gold playing out of position, but yeah. I still am a little bit worried about that being a built-in transfer just because the fixtures get so bad.
Right, right. Also, I mean, I need him to start fast for that reason. Yeah, I need a goal in the first 2.
And not only just for the points, because we play this game to win to get points, but also just for your peace of mind.
Yeah, for my
confidence
peace of mind
in him that right. You could want to hold him through the tough fixtures.
Right. Dream scenario is he starts well, looks really good in the first 2, scores at least 1, and then I can kind of hold him for the bad fixtures, and then they get, obviously, after bad fixtures, they get fucking amazing.
Great again.
9
so,
through like
yeah.
20, he might be the best fucking mid in the game. So
yeah, and that's the other thing is why I mean he's been in and out of my team as well for these reasons we're discussing, but I always feel like for me by around, you know, game week 8, I've already used my wild card. You like him for the first couple weeks, but is he really going to be doing it for those bad fixtures? Not sure about that. And then he's going to probably be one of the first names I'm going to look to transfer out because the fixtures turn so quickly.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's good or bad. I mean, he does have... He's playing 2 relegation promoted sides. First 2 game weeks, which is as good as it gets, but their defense is horrible. They do have good midfield, so they might be able to still probably boss those teams and dominate
should
possession.
Do. Yeah, they should do. Yeah.
But yeah, I do think Ayu at 7'5 is probably a really good pick. So he might come back in. I mean, I might fuck around with everything and get him back in. But I do like him a lot more than Siggy at this point just because, again, summer off, more explosive.
And just playing for the forward.
Yeah, playing a striker. If they're playing tougher opposition, Siggy's going to have to settle a little bit more deep, rely more heavily on set pieces. Ayu's going to be playing further forward. I think he's going to be a better pick. So I definitely would go Ayu over Siggy, game week 1. How long that lasts, I'm not sure. Siggy might will probably emerge as a same,
at some
if not
point,
better pick.
Yeah.
At some point, yeah. But
And then my 4th is Redmond right now, who
we
both
Redmond.
Love. I also love the Tadic pick. I don't think it's bad to have both of them. I think Tadic is exceptional value at 7'5" also. I just don't have room. I want both. I just like can't.
Yeah, I think the 7'5" price bracket when I made my first team, I think I put 4 7'5" midfielders in my team.
And they're so sexy. Yeah.
The
7'5" and the 5'5".
Like
that's all
I think
I
straight away. They're just players that I love. I think I straight and put in Arnie, Siggy, Tadic, and like someone else.
Yeah, Fab or something.
Yeah, Fab or something. I think there are some good 7'5"
midfielders.
There's
like a Lamella 7. Yeah, there's just good guys there.
Yeah, and I mean, like Arnie, for example, is someone who I think was a little bit underrated last year. I think he was priced really kindly. And for me, I think he just took a step forward last year. I mean, he was their clear number one source.
Massive step forward last year.
Yeah, he was their clear number one source of goals and go-to, but his fixtures are also a little bit tough from an attacking standpoint. I don't think at Borough is a good fixture. Then they play City, Everton, Spurs, 3 in a row, and I don't think any of those are good attacking fixtures. And then it gets a little better, but it's the same kind of thing, thinking of, is he going to start off hot? Is he going to be someone I'm going to be looking to transfer out right away?
Sort of similar to playing with fire, getting those guys with the bad fixtures.
Yeah. Sort of similar to like the IU had thought space, but I think those 7'5", 6'5" guys. Also Shaqiri. I mean, I had Shaqiri in for a little bit to see how it felt. I feel like he could, love him. I think he could have a really big year just because it's always hard to come over from a different league, especially from a different league when you weren't really even playing.
Yeah.
It took him, he had a really tough first season for Stoke, but I think
and he got hurt.
He was battling niggly injuries all year, it felt like.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, we were fucking over the moon when he got transferred in. I think you brought him in right away.
I put him in right away when they had like a run of insane fixtures, and I put him in. And actually, he wasn't that bad. Like during that run, he got me some stuff. I think he got me, let's just say, like a goal and two assists over like a run of six or seven games. And then he just did nothing for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be really creative. He did play very far out on the wing this season. It seemed like he would just cross and he would never cut inside. So I'm not sure how many goals he'll be able to score if they keep playing the same way. But it'll be interesting
to see if they get a striker.
Yeah, that'll be. It'll also be interesting to see what formation Hughes plays because he's been 3-4-3-5-2-ing. Boyan is also an interesting 6-0 in the midfield. I don't know if he's going to take pens off Arnie, but I feel like Stoke's got some real good value in general. They were priced really low. I think they were priced like they're going to be a 15th or so place team, but I think they're going to be more like an 8th or a 9th place team. So
wow, I like that.
Yeah, I just feel like there's a lot of value there, I think, but their opening fixtures are tough.
Yeah, they're just not sexy. I think that's really like what it is. It's like,
not sexy Stoke?
Yeah, it's not sexy Stoke, but they were good last year for a large period of the season. But back to Redmond real quick. I just love him. I think he's class. He's got a lot of the things that could lead to like a breakout season. Like he shoots a lot. He's scored plenty of EPL goals, even though it's for Norwich. He dribbles a lot of key passes. He's been really good in preseason. He's even flirted with like playing as a forward in that Puel interview. I just love Redmond. I think he, out of the 5.5, 6.0 guys, I think he probably has the highest upside. So that's why I went with him.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot less uncertainty with Redmond because, as you said, has done it and proven to be a Premier League player. Yeah. And something else that's also difficult to quantify until we see it is that he was playing on one of the worst teams in the league for the last two times up he's been on the league. In Norwich, having the surrounding players that he's looking around at Southampton, the creativity with Tadic next to him, having the kind of holdings behind him, not always being 30% possession team every game, he's going to be able to really play
blossom.
attacking midfield. Yeah,
and
there's no
better team for like a 22-year-old midfield to go to than Southampton. It just feels good. It's like the best like scouting team in the league is seeing what I'm seeing. You know what I mean? It feels good.
Yeah, the one concern I do have over Redmond is just nailedness, just because they do have a lot of midfield options, and there are a lot of different formations that he can play.
Right.
J-Rod's back. Holberg, and they have between Holberg, JWP, Romeo, like they could go 4-3-3 even, who knows. Definitely. They have Classy still.
The one thing is that none of those guys have pace.
No, none of them have pace. Tadic doesn't have pace. Steven Davis doesn't have pace. It's really just Long and Redmond.
That's it. And everyone
J-Rod
else is kind
pace,
of...
though.
I guess so, but I'm just so used to him being dead. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah.
But like the rest of everyone else you just listed are just like center mids who can like play deep or further forward, and it's kind of weird. So
he's an out and out winger, goal scoring winger.
Yeah,
I like the Redmond pick.
Yeah, that's pretty much where we're at. I mean, like we went through a lot of guys. I know we also obviously missed a lot of guys, but we want to keep it to a reasonable length episode, not just go nuts for 3 hours. So
no, let's go like 5 or 10 more minutes because we didn't talk about enough midfield players.
Did we not? Okay.
No. So what do you think about Mahrez? They've got a couple good fixtures starting out. Do you think he's going to kick on or what?
Hate him. I mean, I love the man, the boy, and I had him last year for that reason. But looking at like his underlying stats, they were just out of control good. There's no way that they don't regress down. I don't have the stats open in front of me. I can open them, but it takes a sec to load. But basically all of the, key indicators of, say, goal scoring, which would be like shots on target, which would be accuracy and the goal conversion rate, meaning how many goals were actually scored out of your shots on target, were just astronomically high. Like
Unsustainably high.
Yeah, unsustainably high. Like, better than Aguero. And it's just like, Aguero's really fucking good. You probably can't do that. And then it was the same for chances created, where he created a decent amount of chances. It was in the 60s, I think. But to get 11 assists on only 67 chances is absurd, unsustainable. And it's because Vardy had, like, a goal conversion rate of, like, over 50% or something crazy. And it was just like, I love Mahrez, and I think he's really, really good. I'm not saying he's not good, because he's class and an insanely good dribbler, and I love him. But for fantasy, there's just no way he doesn't regress from those numbers last year. There's just no way. And especially with coming off of winning the league, like, teams will have learned something about playing against Leicester. You know what I mean? They're not going to just one-on-one Mark Mahrez as he cuts in on his left foot every time. You know, it's like, there just has to be some sort of regression. Even if he still returns, I don't think he's worth 9.5.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think it's just also looking at the players in the neighborhood for you find 0.5 more, you get Hazard, you have someone like Paye, who you have to expect is going to just keep ticking over, even though he's not going to be healthy for game week one,
probably.
I was
going to ask you, what's the deal with him? Is there actual news on, like, his health, or are we just assuming that French players are not playing?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't, like, been with the team.
Yeah,
I think it's just, he's just on rest, like, vacation, and it's going to take him a little while to build up match fitness.
Yeah.
He's certainly going to miss the first couple of games, it looks like, at this point. I would imagine that maybe these types of players, you know, like, maybe even Ozil as well, will maybe get a look in game week three.
Yeah, they'll ease in or something like that. Yeah.
Maybe get a look in game week three, then I think there's an international break. They'll probably come in game week four, hitting the ground running, starting there from that point forward. But
what'll be nice is I'll get the Ben Dinnery interview before the season starts. We'll get the lowdown on, like, all these guys.
Oh, that'll be bad.
That'll be good.
Yeah. And then I think, it's like you said, you know, the conversion rate was really high. He'll probably still do well, but 9.5 is a premium price, and when you look at the KDBs, the Paes, you know, the Hazards of the world.
Just
Martial,
so proven.
Mkhitaryan.
Ozil, yeah, even. I mean, like, Ozil's been doing this for so many years, creating, like, the most chances in Europe, like, every fucking year. Like, he's going to be top five midfielder, probably safe to say that. Whereas Mahrez is just like, I just don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
It's like the biggest sports underdog story of all time probably isn't going to happen twice.
Yeah, and the other thing that is a little bit skewed about Mahrez's points last year, where he did get a lot of points in the first half, he got a lot of his goals off pens, which he doesn't have anymore.
Yep.
And the way that Leicester finished up the season last year was so negative. They weren't creating
defensive.
Anything. They were playing for 1-0s.
And they're in Champions League this year.
And they're in Champions League. They have more games to go with. I mean, their squad barely got any bigger. And Mahrez is clearly going to be playing every Champions League game. He's probably going to be running to the ground.
Yep.
I think they're going to probably suffer greatly from that. But at least from game week one perspective, I think, Mahrez giving him a miss is probably the play.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had him for at whole game week one. They're probably going to win like 5-1. But
yeah.
But, yeah.
Thinking of it over the long term.
Long term, I don't
term,
like
yeah.
it.
What do you think about Arsenal mid? I mean, it looks like Alexis is not going to be ready to start, right? And then also Ozil is probably not going to be ready. So
everyone's fucking dead.
Yeah, so they're just in a void, right?
I think they're just a void at the start of the season and let it figure itself out. Okay. Like, even Santi, who came back and looked good, is not going to be match fit. So, yeah, I'm just waiting on Arsenal. I don't know. They're all fucked up through forward all the way to the back. Like, they're all fucked up, so no one really knows. I feel like maybe on next pod, producer Nate or our guest will know. But
yeah, we'll have some more Arsenal talk maybe at that point.
Yeah, but for now, I haven't really considered any Arsenal.
All right. What about Man City? De Bruyne at 10.5. He'll be in some teams. Can never say that's a bad pick. You know that I'm in a Silva man. I had him in my team a little bit, but I got a little bit spooked just because, again, looking in the neighborhood, getting, say, an Eriksen at 0.5 less felt so much safer.
Yeah.
I do really like Nolito. I was very disappointed to see him not priced at 8.0. I thought he was going to be 8.0.
Kill for 8.0, yeah. They went really high on him.
Yeah, if he was 8.0, he probably would be in my team. But
I think he'd be in my team,
They're getting Leroy Sané, and that news just broke today from Schalke.
Yeah, and they still have Nasri, Navas, Sterling. It's like, Jesus, who the fuck knows? No one knows.
That's the thing, is that you got to feel that outside of De Bruyne, there's going to be a fair bit of rotation, right?
Pep's
going
to rotate. Has to be.
So it's a little bit scary there. I think it's probably De Bruyne or no one.
And he's talking about like midfielders playing in the back. Like, who the fuck knows? He's fucking Pep. He's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if Navas gets converted to right back, he'd actually be an incredible right back.
He'd be fucking Bellerin. He'd be voted in as best right back of the season.
would be the exact same thing.
Same thing. Sterling, I've said that for fucking 4 years about Sterling. I'm like, he'd be fucking like Alves. Just make him a right back. He's like the best right back in the world.
And so yeah, Pae, same thing. I mean, he's 9-5.
Yeah, and they have good fixtures. Yeah,
just not ready probably. So not in my thoughts.
Yeah,
it looks to me like there's going to be a 7-5 Chelsea midfielder who emerges, whether it's Fab,
Willian, Oscar,
or even Pedro.
Maybe even Pedro. Yeah.
I mean, Pedro, can't forget too much. I feel like Pedro is maybe the darkest of horses because you can't forget last year he came in.
He just scored immediately.
Is he priced at 9 or 9.5?
Something like that. And he just scored immediately.
Yeah. I mean, he still has quality. I mean, he was playing on Barca. He had a season to forget last year, but I have to see how he's utilized. He might be just crowded out based on the system and Willian there as well. But Oscar,
yeah, I think like the most interesting thing about FPL this year, or just actual the Prem in general, is just the huge manager changes, right? So it's like all these premium mids that we're talking about, like, we're just not quite sure what the team's gonna look like yet. There's United, City, Chelsea, not really Liverpool anymore, but those teams are like, we just went through all of them, and it's just, and Arsenal has so many injured and or vacationing guys that it's just like they're all kind of wait and sees, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's even to the degree, like we already touched on Southampton, and a lesser degree Everton. I mean, a lot like of teams just have new managers.
So much unknown, yeah.
You're just not sure who's going to be an elder, who's going to be a star, yeah, so Chelsea, I think there's going to be value in Chelsea midfield again. I think it's probably, other than Fabregas, I think is maybe the safest to buy if you're not going to get Hazard. But even still, he's just talking about playing Matic and Conte at holding, so maybe when they play good teams, that's what he does, and they go shut up shop and just play on the counter like they used to with Mourinho.
Right, so.
Which is very viable as a possibility.
Yeah, very real.
Still considerable risk. Fabregas could get rotated, but Fabregas, it's like he's always fucking 10 mil or 9 mil. Like always. He's 7.5. It's crazy. Yeah, it's so he's cheap. Old, but.
And same as Silva. This is the cheapest Silva's ever been, too.
Nine, yeah. I mean,
makes them so tempting.
He had a year off too. I mean, they both had a year's off. They didn't play barely. They barely played. They were hurt or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Martial, Mkhitaryan. We talked about that a little bit.
And then there's Liverpool. We talked about too.
Let's close with Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mane and Firmino are the guys that you're looking for. I mean, I love Coop, but he doesn't have the goal scoring threat of either of them. And Firmino just being 0.5 less than Mane is probably the guy that you go for. The problem is the fixtures are really bad, even though with the Klopp Liverpool, we were scoring a lot of goals away from home. It's still, you just don't really want to get involved in at Arsenal, at Burnley, at Spurs, home Chelsea, at home Leicester, at Chelsea. Just like, that's not tempting at all. But once they turn, I think Liverpool offers really good, nailed value. There are no other competitions and goal-scoring mid. So, I mean, I could see myself having like Mane and Firmino starting when their fixtures turn, but probably not to start the season. Yeah,
no, I expect to be double in their attack when the fixtures turn. As you say, being in no other competitions is massive, especially because that's like, right when. That's right around the time when the other competitions begin.
Yeah, and it's like Klopp's like real first year, you know, like Firmino's new to the league and played under two different managers. And there's, you know, it's impossible to say that we weren't better and more attacking with Klopp than we were with Brendan. So add Mane to the mix, who's, by the way, the fastest fucking human on earth. Like, when I watch him in the preseason games, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mane is like, the class and composure he is on the ball is not replicated by many footballers. I feel like he is so cool and calm when he gets on the ball. It's just crazy. He has the little flicks.
Yeah, and his straight line speed rivals anyone. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's going to draw a million fouls like he did last year.
Liverpool would be fucking good this year. Let's go. Calm down. Okay. Calm my deal. We have lot of defensive injuries. I mean, like, as far as the budget midfielders, I don't think any of them are really an option because, I mean, Wijnaldum's not cheap. Lallana's not going to start. Hendo's kind of permanently dead. I'm not sure what his deal is. Milner might be our fucking left back. I don't know. I'd probably avoid anyone other than those three.
Yeah, I think it would. I agree with you. You know, you get Sturridge, and then you look at Coutinho, Firmino, Mane. I think, though, as you mentioned, when the fixtures turn, having two of them is probably going to be great.
Yeah, I'm excited for those days. I'm sad to not have any Liverpudlians right now.
Yeah, it's okay. They're fun.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it.
So, yeah, I hope you checked out the interview I did with Jamie Smith for the Burnley pod. There's going to be another interview later this week with a Middlesbrough guy. This dude, Dom, he covers Middlesbrough for like an actual like newspaper. So he's like a journalist. It's kind of intimidating. And then there's going to be a whole interview, the Ben Dinnery interview. Walsh is also, you're guesting on that pod tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
So Walsh is going to be guesting on some other pod. We'll like retweet that, which will be funny to hear you speaking to other people and going insane, and they're probably not prepared for it, but I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, God. I'm going to fucking embarrass us.
Oh, yeah. You're probably going to fucking just curse your fucking ass off and be like, you're a fucking idiot, and get into a fight with them. It's going to be amazing. And then, yeah, other than that, just join the league. Check us out, fmlpl.com. Follow on Twitter at fmlpl. Email us, fmlpl@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook, rate on iTunes, share.
Are we on Facebook?
Yeah, we're on Facebook.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shitty thing, but you got to be on it, kind of, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I've heard.
Yeah, we need to get more rates on iTunes. That'll bump us up in the shit.
How do you do that?
We need like our fans to rate it.
How many rates do we have right now?
I don't know, like 10 or something.
10?
Yeah.
God damn it, that's horrible.
It's horrible. It's a joke. We have like some reviews, but
can I do it? Can I rate ourselves?
Oh yeah,
can you rate yourself?
Give us a 5-star. I've already done it.
Oh, I'll go figure that out later.
Yeah, go do that later. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Bye.